Mincing Wow and Kasalelia Mainko. That's good morning and howdy, y'all, from the people in Ponape. Thank you so much for having us out. We greatly appreciate the eldership having us out. I know that you're new to us, but you're not new to the work. Hopefully, you are some of the fortunate few in America who actually know where Micronesia is. So that's a good thing. If you don't, we'll talk about it here in a second. We are the Parkers, and we are overseen by the McDonough congregation in McDonough, Georgia. It's the same congregation that was overseeing Scott and Rebecca. We've been working out in the islands around 5 years. We did some short-term work under another eldership, but then the McDonough eldership approached us when we started talking about going out to Ponape, and we spoke together and saw that it would be a good work together. So we... Oh, I'm not clicking here. So we joined with the McDonough congregation about a year ago. Okay, I've got Google and pictures of some island, and I'm not clicking. So give me just 1 second here to see if we can get organized. You got it? I can continue to talk about. This is my family over here. Like you said, I'm Wayne. This is Christy. My oldest son is Spencer. Then that's Gavin and Connor, and our daughter, she's in fifth grade, so she was going down the hall to get the Bible class. We've been living out there about 2 years, so this is our first trip back to report, like he said, and we've been on the road probably about 2.5 months now, so we've hit about two-thirds of our congregations that are out there. We're clicking now. All right. So this is the Shanahans. I'm sure you remember Scott and Rebecca and Violet. We had about 4 months overlap where we were on the island at the same time, and that helped a lot to help us get our bearings and to help us get a foot up. And we really appreciate them and the work that they did, first as foundational work that was there, but second in handing off the work to us. This is the island. If you look and focus in on that little area right there, we'll show you where Micronesia actually is, just in case you don't remember. Zoom in a little bit more. If you look across the top, it used to be known as the Carolina Islands, right above Papua New Guinea. We'll zoom in a little bit more. And these are the four states that make up the Federated States of Micronesia. There's Kosarai. Oh, my pointer's back. There's Kosarai right there. It's a single island. It used to be part of Ponape, but it's declared its independence years ago. And then there's Ponape, where we are. There's one main island, but there's also eight outer islands that each, at least five of those have their own culture. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then there's Chuuk. It has multiple islands that are inhabited. We've done a little work there, and we plan to do a little bit more work there in the future. And then there's Yap. It's a little bit further out than some of the others, but we do have the goal of trying to reach out to them. No one has been on that island. There's been no member of the church on that island for at least 15 years. So we'd like to get out there and try to reach out to them. This is generally what you see when you come to those islands. We usually take an island hopper flight that's out there. So you start the whole journey with a prayer, because you got water on both sides, water on the other side, and you pray that pilot knows what he's doing. But by the time we get to Ponape, we've already done that 3 or 4 times, so we're getting used to it. This is the island itself. Up here in the top is Colonia. That's really the only part of the island that that has a town. We have about a 2-block town up there that has a few grocery stores. We have an Ace Hardware, and we have some of the mom and pop shops up in that area. And then the rest of the island is all really poor, kind of what you would see in Haiti or some of the islands in the States if you get away from the touristy area. We're not a touristy area in Ponape. We probably get about 25 tourists a year. That's worldwide. So it's not really a tourist attraction. So we know if someone comes on the island, we try to all rush them and introduce ourselves. But it takes about 3.5 hours to drive completely around the island. We have 2 congregations. We have one up here in Colonia and the other down here in Madlanim. And I'll talk about them in just a second. Apart from Ponapeans, we also have outer islands that have brought their own culture to the island. Each one of them has a different area of the island where they have kind of set up their own little tribal area. One of these is a Kapinga Maringi. And we're going to try to set up a table here in a little while with some of our display on it. And one of the things that's on it is some woodworking. You'll see some dolphins and some hooks that now, since the movie Moana came out, everybody refers to as Maui hooks. But it's those hooks that were in the movie. That's what one of the things that they carve. My son here, Gavin, he's my youngest son. He's been working with the Kapinga Maringi just about since we got on the island. He started about a month after we got there. And he's really dove into that culture there, and they've invited him in. He's the first Minwai. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that term, but that's what they call anybody that's not from the Micronesian islands. It translates to sneaky people, but I'm not sure why they did that. But my son is the first Minwai to actually work in that area with them. It's set up, the wood shop is set up to allow younger men and to allow teenagers to work to try to get them centered and give them time to visit with some of the elders of the tribe and to get them to give them an outlet of something to do to start trying to raise money. And he has been working with them. And as a result, they have really accepted him and invited us to cultural events. This first 2 years on the island there, we've really been focused on getting into the culture, letting everybody know who we are and getting to know them a little bit and letting them know that we're there to try to make their lives better, to try to introduce them to a man that can make their lives better. And that's our main goal that while we're out there, especially these first 2 years, is to get into that culture. As a result, they've invited us to some of their cultural events. We were invited to Thanksgiving after we first got there. Well, there's no turkey and dressing on the island. So what Thanksgiving is to them is they go out and they catch over 300 moray eels, and they have an eel festival. And Spencer, my oldest son, was fortunate enough to get the head, so that means he's blessed for the entire year. But the cultures there are very interesting. This is our northern congregation. Y'all probably seen this building before. And this is our southern congregation. Now, this is in Madeline Neem, and it was set up about 3 months before we actually moved on to the island. So we did a lot of work, especially the first 4 months with Scott and I there. We did a whole lot of work in this area trying to build that church. And we've continued to do that as Scott and Rebecca have left. We've got about 30 members in this congregation now, and we average in attendance anywhere from around 40 to 50. And it's continuing to grow. My wife has worked with the women there to teach them to teach kids. When we left, we had about 8 kids, and we've heard that since we've been gone, it's up to about 30. So there's a lot of kids there. We really want to work as a missionary. You really worry what's going to happen when you come to the States to report. Are you going to come back to an empty congregation? Are they going to be able to do the work while you're gone? And I'm happy to say that we've been checking back as we've been here. And not only has the congregation stayed stable, but it's also grown. So that's very great to see. We really want to try to set up those congregations to do the work themselves. I'm not there to seed little congregations that I can go around and preach in. I'm there to go in, and my whole family is there to go in and to train them so that they can do the work themselves, and then I can move on to a different area and then just check back with them and make sure everything's going well with them. This is generally what you see when you drive around the island. This is the state of the houses that are there. You don't do a lot of door knocking because they don't have a lot of doors. But you usually go to if you go to an area, you can generally set up a study. It's not usually a one-on-one study either. Even if it starts that way, they usually bring in their family, everyone else in their area, their neighbors. So sometimes when you have this Bible study, the person that you actually reach is not the one that you originally started the study with. I'm not the only missionary on the island. You not only support one, but you're supporting 6 of them. We all stay very busy and all continue to work there. It's not just me in the field and everyone else in the house. We continually all stay in the field, even all the way down to my daughter, who works with the kids there. And she also helps work preparing meals when we have these little suppers. So she stays very busy. My wife has done a lot of Bible studies. She does a lot of teaching of the women. Especially when we first got out there, actually right after Scott and Rebecca left, we had 2 months of leadership training that we worked with them. She trained the women and I trained the men and boys. And it was a challenge because they're a culture that doesn't like to, they're very humble. They don't like to stand in front of people. They don't like attention from anyone. So we've had to work with them a lot. Even the men that were leading prayer already, when they led prayer, you never knew what they were saying. So I had to talk to them and work with them and say that you're praying on behalf of the congregation and that you need to speak out and make sure the congregation hears you. So my wife worked with the leadership training for the women. She did some leadership training on how to work in a women's environment, like they can lead singing and they can do scripture reading. But she also worked with them a lot on teaching the children. Now, when she first went out to teach them about teaching the children, she asked, she had about 15 to 17 people. And she asked them, so who here would be interested in teaching little kids? And no hands came up. And they made sure they were really still so they didn't look like their hands came up. But she said, okay, we'll work a few weeks. And she worked with them and taught them how to take a Bible study and turn it into a lesson. How to look at the things around you, coconuts, sand, birds in the air, and use these things to teach biblical lessons. Just like Jesus did when he was going around telling the parables. He used things that were around them. And then she talked to them more about how to interact with kids. And at the end of this teaching, she asked again, so who would be interested in teaching little kids? And she had 5 hands that came up right off the bat. And then she said, well, what if I worked with you and stayed with you for your first few lessons? And even more hands came up. So we've been blessed that those ladies have been working with the kids and learning how to teach them. 3 of those ladies are actually doing the teaching now while we're in the States. Christy created a pack, a curriculum pack for them that will last not only the time period that we're here, but will go all the way to the first of the year. And they're using that curriculum to teach the kids. And as I said, it's 3 of them that are rotating out. I'll talk a little bit more about Pacific Islands Bible College and World Bible Institute. Y'all have probably heard those names, but I'll touch on those a little deeper in just a little while. But we have tried to have at least a couple times a year someone come out from the States. We had Stacy and Kathy Ferguson, which are from the Atlanta area. They go to the Forest Park congregation there, and they teach with Pacific Islands Bible College. They've came out to our island twice already. And one of the times that they were out with us, while Stacy was teaching the Pacific Islands Bible College class, we took a break, and Christy and Kathy, his wife, and then Letty, one of the ladies from the congregation here, had a first overnight ladies retreat. And it went very well and did a lot to... It gave a lot of one-on-one time with the ladies of the congregation. And you could really tell the changes in their lives after they had that. Their dedication to the Lord amplified after that. They also had Care Bears that they made for our private and public hospital to give out to the kids. And that's something that we plan to continue. We hope to do one as soon as we return. My sons also stayed very busy. When Scott and Rebecca were there, Scott would teach at one congregation and I would teach at the other. Because I said, you know, we have a north and south congregation. But after Scott left, my son, Spencer, my oldest son, had to take up a lot of that time to actually do the work. So he would teach at one congregation and I would teach at the southern congregation. And we did that until we trained up a couple of the brothers there to actually get into the rotation there. My other 2 sons, they've also spoken there, and they do a lot of song leading. In that northern, in the northern congregation, we speak English. But in the southern congregation, it's all Pohnpeian. There's only 1 English speaker in that whole congregation. Well, really, 2 English speakers in that whole congregation. So when we have our services, when we do Bible reading, when we do singing, things like that, that's all in Pohnpeian. So we're working on learning that language. And my boys and I all lead singing in Pohnpeian, and we have songs that we've kind of back translated. We have a Pohnpeian songbook, and we've kind of back translated those so that we know what we sing. And then we lead singing in Pohnpeian. We also do the scripture reading in Pohnpeian. So it's quite a challenge, but we're continuing to work on learning that language. And the boys stay very busy. Also, Spencer has done a lot of teaching the children. When we were in Chuuk in February, and I'll talk about that later, he actually taught the children there in Chuuk. And he also has taught, this is the children's class in Malanim, in the southern congregation. They actually built that building themselves right after we moved on the island. They took pallets and created the floor, and then they did all local materials to make the outsides of it. And it's worked very well to give us a place that we can move the children away so that we can have two different classes. Well, there's also a lot of physical labor to go around anytime that you're in the mission field, or actually they would probably be doing a lot of work here if we were still in the States. But they've got able bodies and we keep them busy. We have four main goals as we are out there on the island. It's growing the church, bonding the church, giving them training and resources, and community outreach. And everything we do, we try to make fall into one of these categories. You'll see Scott there. This was the first day that we actually, the first day we met with the congregation there in Miseso. We had a baptism and a marriage on that first day. They have a very different concept of marriage, so we have to work with that a lot. They'll have a woman and man that lives together for a while. They might have multiple children, but if any point they decide they become discontent and ready to move away, well, then one of them will move to the other side of the island and carry whichever children wants to go with them. So we have to work with them a lot. When we're having these Bible studies, we also have to have marriage counseling as part of that and teach them their commitment to each other. Teach them their commitment to their family, their commitment to God, and how it all ties together. And that's one thing that we really focus on there. So you'll see in some of these baptisms, most of them have a wedding and then two baptisms, or two baptisms and a wedding. This is Ricky right here. He's one of my main translators. And Cassandra here is one of the teachers, one of the three that I talked about before. And then we have Rusty and Mindy. And then we have... my mind just went blank. What, I know Sano. What's Sano? Ceremi. Sano and Ceremi. They changed the J to an S sound, so that's, I was trying to get it in my head. But we've had a lot of baptisms that have helped grow that church in the southern area, and we hope to continue to work there. The church in the northern area, a lot of people up there have been, some of the ones up there have been in the church for a while. So we kind of use them as missionaries in the south area. So we will meet up there, and then on Wednesday night we have a Bible study in the northern congregation, and on Thursday night they go with us to the southern congregation, and we have one all together. We have three tracts that have been translated, but we're working on more. Scott and Rebecca were able to do this before they left. But we want to get more tracts out there so that we can get more tracts into people's hands to lead to more Bible studies. I talked a little bit about Christie's training the women, but I also worked during that same period training the men. We had to, when you start a new congregation in a new area, you have to keep in mind that they have a much different upbringing than we do. We can say things like Joshua and Moses and Abraham, and that brings pictures into our minds. We know all about them. We can tie them all together, but those are all new people to them. Joshua, Abraham, Moses might as well be the neighbors down the street. So we had to tell them, put them in context, and help explain to them who these people are. So we've had to work with them on telling them, even telling them the books of the Bible, the Old and New Testament, which books are where. So on Thursday nights, we've been teaching an Old Testament survey class to try to walk them through the Bible, to try to get them to conceptualize where those different people fall and how the Bible is organized. And that is continuing to be taught while I am here. I left two men that are carrying on that work. Another thing that they're not really familiar with is the acts of worship. They're not familiar with what happens in a worship setting. So I had to work with them on the different things, on leading singing, on leading prayer, on serving the Lord's table, on preaching. And so we had to work with them and on giving. And we had to work with them with each one of those things. And after teaching them for a while, I went to each one of them and tried to ask them to take one of these tasks on for the first time. We had one song leader at the time, one Pohnpeian song leader. Well, he's actually from one of the outer islands, Pingalap. But we had one, and we tried to work with trying to raise up more. This person down here at the bottom is Andreas. He's a he's a very strong man. He's strong in the faith, and he has a strong family. He was the man that I showed you that was baptized that first day that we were on island. And we worked with him. I asked him, what would you like to do? Would you like to lead prayer? He said, yes, yes. I said, well, would you like to try to lead singing? He said, oh, no, 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 no. And I said, I think you could do it, Andreas. I've heard you could sing. And so I said, we have a Pompeii and songbook. And I asked him, I said, so do you think there's any song in this songbook that if I took the songbook away, you could lead two verses of? And he thought for a minute. And there's a song called Puksarawi, which is the Holy Bible, the Holy Book. That's kind of common on the island. They sing that a lot. And he said, I think I can sing that one. So we invited him up to sing on a Thursday night. And he sang, did a really good job. He was really shy, a little shaky at first. But he did a very good job singing that. And so far, he's sung that. He's led it at least six times. We haven't gotten him to those other songs yet, but he's building up that confidence. We've learned that you have to do a lot of baby steps to out there to get people where they need to be. This is Rusty, and he's really shy, man. He's good out in the jungle, but when you put him in front of the congregation, he gets really, really shy. So he paid great attention as we were teaching. He did good demonstrating the skills when we were in the class setting. So I asked him if he was interested in doing anything in the worship. So first I asked him about leading singing, and he said, no, I will not. So I said, all right. So we talked about other things, talked about speaking, and we finally got to leading the Lord's table. He said, okay, I'll do it, but I said, okay, I'll mark the verses, because he said, I'm not sure where those verses are. So I said, I'll put a piece of paper in the Bible so you can read there. Well, the paper might fall out, and then I'll be embarrassed. I said, okay. He said, if I'll print it all out on a sheet so that he could read it off a sheet of paper. So I put 1 Corinthians 11 on a sheet of paper and a couple of other verses there so that he could head up the Lord's table. Well, the day came, and he came up, and he walked up, and it's a very hot place there, but somehow he managed to sweat about three times more than the rest of us. And when he did walk up to the front, he faced the table and would look down, but he read the verses well, he said the prayers well, and he went around and handed out the plates. And then when he was finished, he returned to his seat, and as soon as he sat in the very back, we started hearing. And I turned around and looked, and his wife, Mindy, is just hitting him in the shoulders and hitting him in the back, and I had no clue what was going on, and I didn't want to interrupt, so I just went into my sermon. And after the sermon was over, when I offered the invitation, well, Mindy grabbed him by the collar and toted him up front, carried him all the way to the front, and I said, Mindy, can we help you with something? She said, Rusty needs help, so he'll do a lot better job next time. And I said, no, we really appreciate him standing up and making that step. But it's a different culture out there. We're daily reminded that they live in a different culture than we do. And it's a blessing that we're able to be out there with them and work with them. Apart from men's leadership training, we've also been training a lot of the young men that are out there. We want them to, they're not only the leaders of the future, but they're also the leaders of the day. Especially those that have been baptized, we put them right into doing the works of service. We've trained, this is Trixon right here. He was actually the first young man to do a Devo. When I was teaching them, I gave each one of the men and young men a parable and worked with them on how to turn that parable into a lesson. So he did, he took the parable of the talents, I think is what he had. And then Andreas had the parable of the lost sheep. And he developed a very good lesson. These other two, they have not yet been baptized. But we work with them on Bible reading and leading singing. Now, Trixon's very interesting in that when we had a Bible study with him, my oldest son and I sat down and had a study with him. And his mom would always come and stand in the background. And she stood there and she would listen. But when we invited her to come over to the talk, no, I'll stay back here. See, she was not a member of any denomination, any congregation. She had gone to the Mormon congregation a few times. But she said that she would listen, and she was happy that I was studying with her son. But that was kind of about it. But she sat there on every lesson that we had. as we went through the Bible study, every Bible study, she said over the side. And when Trickson came forward and asked to be baptized, we carried him out to the river to baptize him. And it's right after he came out to the water and came to the shore, she came forward and asked to be baptized also. And we talked to her a little bit, and she had heard all those lessons, like I said, and the Lord brought her heart to here. We have the Pacific Islands Bible College and World Bible Institute that we've talked about before a little bit. I'm sure y'all have heard those names. Those shouldn't be two new names for you because Scott's been working with them for a while. I'm continuing the work that he has started out there. The Pacific Islands Bible College is headed up by Robert Martin. He started it many, many years ago. He's been working in the Pacific for a while. And Stacy Ferguson is kind of his right-hand man. So the Pacific Islands Bible College is taught in three different ways. They have a certificate that you can earn by completing amount of classes, depending on what your focus is. And that certificate can take anywhere from 4 years to 8 years on to earn. We have two members of the congregation, Letty and Charlie. Charlie's our van driver. You may have heard that name before. And Ladisa Abraham is the other one at the top. They've both earned this certificate degree. It took them about 8 years to put that together. It works with correspondence courses. If possible, they have videos and audio. And then they tried to send out people from the States to teach them firsthand. We had two that came out last year. This is Leonard Lay up here at the top. He was a very close friend of Scott and Rebecca's. He went to school with Scott. And then down here at the bottom is Stacy Ferguson. Both of them came out and taught classes last year. And then I teach alongside of them and also tried to teach some classes when they're not there. So we're going to continue that work and continue to try to get more people graduated out of that program. It's a little bit more intensive than just your Sunday morning, Wednesday night Bible class. Each lecture is about a 10-hour lecture. And at the end of that, we actually give them a test. And they really enjoy it. A lot of them give up a lot. You know, if you live in a society where you live day to day, if you don't get to go out in the field or you don't get to go out into the jungle to that day to the work, then your family may not eat. So they really give up a lot to be at these classes. And we greatly appreciate their dedication to the Lord. We've had, as continuing this outreach to the community, we've had a VBS. We've had two VBSs. This is our first one up in the north area. We did this while Stacy and Kathy Ferguson were with us. And Stacy taught the adult class, and Kathy taught the children's class. We had they were English speaking. We were up in this northern part of the area, so that was a blessing. We were able to pull them out because we were kind of fresh on the island and had not learned many of the songs or anything like that. So we built a puppet stage. We had brought some puppets with us. Our kids had done a lot of puppetry, and we introduced to the congregation the puppets and to the community the puppets. Now they would be the kids loved the puppets, especially when they would come out singing with them. They just kind of amplified their singing there. We also had a fall festival. We had a lot of games that we had set up, some of the ones that you're used to here in the States, like the ring toss or the beanbag toss. But then we have some that are kind of specific to the island, like throw the basketball into the cement mixer. You don't see that very much here. But the way we did that is to play the games, they had to answer Bible questions to get tickets. The members of, the people that were from the northern and southern congregation, even the little kids, that's why I don't say members, I said the people of, we worked with the Kids Sing program, which was started by my mind's gone blank again, Glenn Colley, there you go. And it is you have a system of cards, and each one of these cards has different Bible facts or different Bible locations to memorize, like Genesis 11, Tower of Babel, things like that. So we had been working with the congregations on those. So they would come up to me and answer questions that were on there. We had them in Pompeian and in English. And as a result, they would get a ticket if they got those questions correct, and then they would go out and play the games. Now, the people of the community, we worked with Old and New Testament, books of the Bible, Old and New Testament. And it's amazing how even if you have a 50% chance, sometimes you can get up to around 10 before you get one right. But we worked with those until they were figuring those out, and by the end of this fall festival, we were overjoyed with how many people actually had gotten those Bible books and knew where they were located. We really had the fall festival. We started out with kids. It was mostly kids. But when Christy opened up the cakewalk, we quickly had a lot of adults that started coming in too. And they were answering those Bible questions. But the good news about that is that if the adults learn it, then they can continue to teach it to the kids. And vice versa. We had a lot of kids telling the adults, no, those are all Old Testament. Those are New Testament. Our second VBS was in Macizo in the Southern Congregation. It was all in Pompeian. And this was actually the Sunday right before we left. We had a really good turnout. We actually had 15 people that came in from the other side of the island on a flatbed truck. And we've been checking back with them as we were here, and they have continued to attend as we were while we were here. So we're hoping that some of the people there, some of the people from the Northern Congregation, can have Bible studies with them. We are also planning when we return in the fall, we're going to try to use those people and try to seed a congregation on the other side of the island so that we can try to grow a congregation there. We had the fruit of the Spirit was the topic for this VBS. Now, the first VBS was a week-long VBS, but the second one was just one day, but it was a four-hour VBS. We had three people that stepped up to teach the classes. So my wife did the organization, and then I just kind of managed the chaos a little bit. But it was actually the members of the congregation that did the teaching, that did the my sons helped with the activities. And all she provided to them was a flip chart and the story out of the Bible, but they had to prepare the lessons. And they did a wonderful job preparing these lessons. This is Brother Roy. He's another one of my main translators there. And he taught the children's class. It was the first time he had ever taught a children's class. And he taught on Jesus in the wilderness, temptation in the wilderness. And he did a wonderful job connecting with those children and teaching that lesson to them. And then we also had, she's kind of dark here, but this is Letty, and this is her daughter, Sawana. They taught other classes on the Wall of Jericho and the Good Samaritan. As I said, the topic was the fruit of the Spirit. And my wife had a great idea to take some fruit, actual physical fruit, some local of the island and some that they had never seen before, like cherries and some watermelon and things like that. And then we associated each one of those fruits with an actual fruit of the Spirit. And so we placed them in chairs in a big circle. And on the top of each chair, it would have the word in Pompeian and the word in English. And then a fruit there that they could create a fruit cocktail. And they had to say that and know those as they walked around in the circle. They had to say those. We try to do a lot of creative ways to get this information across to them. And that worked well. By the time that they got around, there was many of them had learned those fruit of the Spirit much better than they knew them before, if they had known them at all. We sang the fruit of the Spirit song, and they were chiming in a whole lot stronger at the end than they were when we first started. As I said at the start, we really have a focus these first couple of years of getting into the community. We had a set of goals that we were attempting to reach during each one of the periods between reporting. And out of our first and second year goals, we achieved them all except for one. We were trying to start an after-school program. But as we went to some of the schools and tried to approach them about that, they didn't know us and they didn't want to give us access to their kids. So we had to work with them and try to get to know them better. Well, one way that we've gotten to know the kids better is we started the island's first community theater. They have a big interest in acting out there. And when we are a family that's been doing acting since way before the kids were even born. And so we thought this was something maybe we could bring to the community. So we talked with the U.S. Embassy there, and one of the ladies from the U.S. Embassy and my wife, and then someone from the Australian Navy area, and one other lady. We all got together and formed a community theater that was out there. Now, that opened the door for us to some of these schools, because as we, well, first off, we had over 300 children that came out to audition for the first play, and that... they all came from different schools. A lot of them came from different schools, so that opened the doors. And then as we went to the performance, we went to the schools to advertise it, and they had the principals and vice principals who would open up the door to us so we could build that rapport to them to get to know them better. And now that we have that relationship, hopefully that will open up the doors so that we can start that after-school program. Our second production, this is the one down here in the bottom, was actually a musical of Jack and the Beanstalk, and we had a really good turnout for it. And it opened the door to another door that had been shut, and that's we wanted a campus ministry. We have the National College for all of the states of Micronesia is located there in Pohnpei. It's actually very close to where we're about to set up that other congregation, Lord willing. And they provided the venue for us for the performances for that show. So that let us get to know them better and let me go into the door and find out how to set up that campus ministry. So Lord willing, we'll be able to get that work going also. So you can use those community, the work in the community to open the doors to the church. And that's what we continue to try to do. We also, the political system there, I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but the north area of it is senators, and we have a president, governor, lieutenant governor. In the south area, we actually have kings and tribes that we have to work with. Anything that we do in that southern area, if we have a gospel meeting or something like that, I have to actually approach the king or one of his representatives to ask permission to that. So we have a lot of different types of culture that we deal with. Another thing that we run into that's different from short-term missions, when you're doing short-term mission work, you can fly in on that plane, bring your big boxes of shirts and hats and daily toiletries and things like that, and just hand them out and then get on the plane and leave. But if we hand anything out like that, well, they know where we live, and the neighbors show up and say, well, why didn't we get a shirt? Why don't we? So what we have to do is we have to use events, and we use these events to make those handouts of things that people send us from the states, are things that we have that we can help provide. One of those activities, we try to have at least one activity a month. And one of those activities was our Christmas party that we had that after worship on Christmas Eve. And the first thing that we handed out is we had some eyeglasses and we tested everybody out there. They have a lot of them have a lot of reading issues, a lot of eye issues. We were able to pass those out. And then we had a visit by Santa Claus that my oldest son there who handed out. We had fidget spinners and English books that we gave to the kids. And then for adults, we had the island's first greedy Santa, which went over very well. We told them that, okay, today is the only day in your life that you can steal and get away with it. So they really enjoyed that. We really worked to try to bond the congregations there. When we first got there, they were all strangers to each other. They would come in when the doors were open and sit in the pews, but then they would all go to their homes. But we've worked to try to bond them so that they know each other, they know each other's families, and they can hold each other accountable. And we've really seen the fruits of that as we were back in the States. I have no doubt in my mind that if we had not worked with that bonding, if they were not bonding with each other, then they would not be meeting there in our absence. But we've seen the fruits of that bonding. We also provided a box that we had a congregation that had given us some money for to use for food. And we provided a box for each family. And each one of these boxes had chicken and rice and some toiletries and some over-the-counter meds for them to use. Real quickly, I'm about out of time here, but I want to talk about, this is Brother Osser, if I can get the light to work. He was my only translator after Scott left, but the Lord provided two more translators for me, and it's a wonderful thing that he did, because in February, we got a call from some friends of ours that went out the same time that we did and set up a minister school in Fiji, and he had the opportunity we had one call that said that there was a scholarship for a person from the Solomon Islands, but he wasn't going to be able to attend, and asked if we had anybody on the island that would be interested. So I thought of Brother Osser and went straight to him, and he said, yes, I would love to do it. So we had 3 weeks to get his passport, pull him out of the jungle, and move him to the big city of Suva, Fiji. So that was a big challenge. He spent the whole trip seeing things for the first time. One of the funniest things that I thought was we stepped into the elevator for the first time, and he said, why is everybody cramming into this small closet? And then the elevator moved. The congregation out of Midland, Texas, that paid for his scholarship also flew me out there with him to help him kind of get acclimated. That was February. It's a 2-year college program. He's about to complete his first year out there. We've been hearing wonderful reports that things are going very well. So we'll pray for him. And next year, when he finishes up his second year, we'll actually have an indigenous preacher on the island that can work alongside us. And he'll stay there, even if we move on to somewhere else. Well, I thank you so much for your time. And if you have any questions, we're definitely around. We appreciate your support so much. This is not a work that we're doing alone. This is work that we could not do without congregations like y'all. And we greatly appreciate that and look forward to getting to know you all better. Thank you very much.